Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel. Science and technology. Brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku.
And GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And give us a call if you want to get on Science Fantastic. The number to call is 612-564-8135. All we ask is that you leave your name, call letters of the radio station if you're listening to one, and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment, and perhaps you can get on Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Now, sometimes people email me and say, well, I'm too bashful to have my name heard on national radio, but you can send me an email. Go to the web and go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and you can ask that question, and then perhaps I'll read your response on national radio. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org is the website. If you go to my Facebook site at Michio Kaku, we have 3 million fans on Facebook, over 600,000 fans on Twitter. So find out what all the excitement is about. And let's say it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're all alone, and something just pops into your mind, something about health, something about the future, something about evolution, something about DNA, something about the universe, but there's no one to talk to. Well, you can talk to me. You can give me a call. 612-564-8135 is the number to call, and then you can ask that question, make that comment, and perhaps you can get on national radio. And also, I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest one is called The Future of Humanity, about the future of the space program. We're talking about going back to the moon. Starting next year, an unmanned probe will be sent back to the moon. Then 3 years after that, we're going back to the moon with astronauts. Then on to Mars and beyond. Perhaps to the asteroid belt. And maybe one day to the stars. Find out about what all the excitement is about by getting a copy of my latest book, The Future of Humanity, talking about the future of the space program. Okay, well, let's get right to the listener phone calls. So let's have the first call.
Hi, this is Tom Myers from Rochester, New York. I saw this on a tweet. What will it take to get the U.S. to use the metric system, period? Our students are being forced to learn 2 systems. Their main system, it gives them a handicap when they're using science. This is not a good thing. Thank you.
Yes, I sympathize with you wholeheartedly. When I go traveling around the world, I realize that everybody uses the metric system. Everybody talks in terms of meters and centimeters, except when I come back to the United States, it's back to the old U.S. system. Now, at one point, there was a national campaign years ago to convert to the metric system. However, it never materialized because of, well, force of habit. It costs money to make the change. And it also is a question of inertia, bureaucratic inertia. You see, politicians don't get points. They don't get reelected by being the champion of the metric system, and people are naturally conservative. Now, in other countries, they have to convert, because if you want to engage in commerce, international commerce, then you have to go to the metric system. However, the United States is the 800-pound gorilla. As a consequence, we wanted them to conform to us. Let them convert metric system and our system. Now, it turns out this has practical implications. Years ago, we sent a Mars probe into outer space, and there was a miscalibration because of the conversion from the English system to the metric system, and our space probe was lost as a consequence. So in other words, this has million-dollar consequences. It's not just a question of inconvenience. It's also a question of mistakes are made as a consequence. But politicians have to get behind it, and unfortunately, there's no brownie points that politicians get by pushing something that's unpopular in this country like the metric system. I sympathize with you, but ultimately, it's up to the politicians. Sorry about that. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Stephen Winter calling from Clinton, Mississippi. Radio stations 103.9 WYAB. My question is concerning global warming. If I'm not mistaken, when I was in high school in the 70s, they were talking about us coming out of a mini ice age or something like that, that they were expecting it to get warmer back then. I just wonder what's happened between then and now. Is that information off track, or we got folks wanting to blame everything on CO2 emissions, which I believe one volcano produces a huge amount. Anyway, that's my question. Just curious about that. Thank you.
Okay, well, you ask a question that's very relevant for today. First of all, there are two kinds of atmospheric disturbances. One is long-term and one is short-term. Now, ice ages come and go on a scale of tens of thousands of years. The last ice age ended 10,000 years ago, and that made possible the rise of civilization. Civilizations could not exist when most of North America was covered with a half a mile of ice. And so we were basically nomads going from one small hunting site to another, chasing after the deer and the buffalo, who also migrated. And it was a very hard life. Then 10,000 years ago, the ice melted, making possible civilization. But these are long-term cycles. In another 10,000 years, we will have another ice age. In other words, 10,000 years from now, don't be surprised if America is under a half a mile of ice. Now, the other question is about global warming. Now we're talking about things that change the weather, not on a scale of tens of thousands of years, forecasting another ice age in 10,000 years, but cycles which happen on a scale of decades to centuries, which are usually not natural. Natural cycles usually take thousands to hundreds of thousands of years, but here we're talking about a change that's taking place on a scale of decades. When you look at the last 100 years, for example, you realize that since the Industrial Revolution, temperatures have risen about a degree, that also sea levels have risen at a very measurable rate, caused by the warming of the oceans. Now, the Earth is warming up. You can talk to any farmer. Any farmer will tell you that his or her livelihood depends on knowing when to plant and what the seasons are. And yes, summertime is about a week longer than before. So global warming, just in the sense of warming, is here. Even President George W. Bush years ago said, quote, something is happening, unquote, with the weather that even the average person knows. Now, here's where the debate comes in. The debate comes in as to how much human activity is responsible for global warming. So in other words, even the so-called skeptics will concede now the fact that the Earth is warming up. We can see this with satellite data, oceanic data, but then the question is, who's responsible? Well, we'll talk about that after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Call that number and ask that question that you've always wanted to call.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, if you want to get on the air and ask that question, give us a call at 612-564-8135. You'll hear the beep, leave your name, call letters of the radio station and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment, and perhaps your thoughts will be heard on national radio. Well, before the break, we had a question about global warming. Yes, even the skeptics will say that the Earth is warming. And years ago, I was a skeptic myself. I used to say to myself, come on, now, give me a break. The Earth is so big. It's huge. And humans, we're so tiny. How can we humans influence something as big as the weather? But then you take a look at what's happening with the Earth itself. All the indicators show that the Earth is warming and it's accelerating. We see that all the major glaciers are receding. All the major glaciers are receding on the planet Earth. Parts of Antarctica are beginning to break off. The stability of Antarctica is now being questioned. We see the fact that summer times are about a week longer than normal. And we see that Global swings of the weather are commonplace now. 100-year floods, 100-year forest fires, 100-year this, 100-year that. They seem to be happening all the time. And then the big question is, how much of it is due to human activity? Well, scientists use computer programs. Some people don't like them, but what else are you going to do? Use pencil and paper? When you use computer programs to run the videotape, what you find is that with 90% confidence, it is human activity. Now, 90% confidence is not 100%. Scientists are not saying that with 100% accuracy, we say that it's human activity, but with 90% confidence, they say it's human activity that is causing the Earth to heat up. Okay, well, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hi, Dr. Haku. This is Ben in Chicago. Are atomic events recorded in space-time similar to the way in which digital data is recorded on storage media? And if so, would it be theoretically possible to read historical events of the past and then recreate them in the present? In other words, you'd be time-traveling to the past, not to alter the past, but to gather data of past events and then recreate them in the present. So you could perhaps alter past events in the present. Doing this would avoid any time-traveling paradoxes, and it could be a way to resurrect a dead person by recreating their bodies and memories in the present time in a way that wasn't possible in the past. Thanks.
Well, you actually ask a question that I used to ask myself as a youth a long time ago. Let's say there's a crime. The light emitted from the crime has bounced off the walls, but if you could reassemble all the light, then you could, in principle, recreate the scene of the crime. So I thought to myself, wow, I mean, we have all this knowledge about atomic physics. We have all this knowledge about atoms and photons and electrons. Why can't we collect all this data, not digital data, but atomic data, and then run the videotape backwards to reconstruct the crime? Well, great idea, but in practice, it's not practical for several reasons. First of all, when light scatters off a substance, let's say there is a crime and light from the crime hits the walls, light scatters in all these different directions, and to recreate that wavefront would require you to know everything there is about the original wave, everything about the texture of the wall that bounced the light off, and the amount of data would be incredible. And so it's not possible using ordinary techniques to then recreate the wavefront. Sorry about that. However, some people have suggested that even though we can't duplicate the atomic data, the digital data may somehow be reconstructed to create an approximation of reality. This is called digital immortality. One Silicon Valley company is already offering to digitize everything known about you. Your credit card records, your Instagram pictures, everything known about you on the web can be digitized to get you a first approximation to who you are. Now, as time goes by, more and more information will be collected about you to the point that we may be able to reconstruct a reasonable facsimile of who you are. And the Silicon Valley company actually is offering to create a robot. A robot that looks like you, talks like you, has the same mannerisms as you. I've actually seen the robot, and it's not very advanced, so don't get your hopes up. But the question of digital immortality is a possibility. For example, take a look at Winston Churchill. Let's say you digitize everything known about Winston Churchill. So when you go to the library, you talk to him. You talk to a holographic image that reproduces the sound, inflection, historical notes, everything known about Winston Churchill. I mean, I wouldn't mind talking to Einstein. I'd have a great time talking to Einstein, or even a reasonable facsimile of Einstein. And then, maybe decades from now, the Connectome Project will be finished. The Connectome Project will map the entire brain. Every neuron of the brain can be mapped to recreate a facsimile of your thinking brain, including your memories, your personality. We're talking about a digital version of you that is immortal. Now, is it really immortal? Well, to paraphrase former President Bill Clinton, it all depends on how you define you. If you are a biological being, then no, this is nothing but a digital tape recorder. However, if you is the sum total of all the information that is known about you, your mannerisms, your feelings, your memories, everything known about you, if that is you, then in some sense we have digitized your soul. So your soul is now being reduced to information. Now, is this possible? Certainly possible. Is it economical and practical? That I don't know. But as computer prices continue to drop, some people may want the option of not biological immortality, but digital immortality. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Barton Salen, listening on WSRQ in Sarasota, Florida. Since general relativity says that the clock on the sun would run slower than a clock on the Earth because of the greater gravitational force on the sun, if a clock could survive on the sun, doesn't that mean that those time differences between the sun's clock and our clock would accumulate, so that when we look at the sun today, we would not be seeing it as it is today, but rather as it was in the time of the dinosaurs? Now, I realize that today we see the sun as it is today because when there is a flare on the sun, if it's in the right position, we get hit a few hours later by particles from that flare. So we know that we're watching the sun as it is today. Thank you.
Yes, well, you ask a very interesting question. It turns out that the speed of gravity is the speed of light. If the sun were to disappear right now, it would take 8 minutes. 8 minutes for that information to hit the Earth. So even gravity has a finite speed. Now, as you pointed out, time beats at different rates throughout the universe. On the moon, time beats faster. So if I have a clock on the moon and a clock on the Earth, and the two clocks can talk to each other, the clock on the moon beats faster than a clock on the planet Earth. And this is actually measurable. So this is not science fiction. This is science fact. Get used to it. In fact, Einstein once said that he put a clock at every point in the entire universe. He put a clock, all of them beating at a different rate, but he was so poor, he couldn't afford a clock of his own. But it's true. Time beats at different rates throughout the universe. So you're saying, can you accumulate this difference in time? The answer is yes, but it is infinitesimal. So if I have an astronaut on the moon and an astronaut on the Earth, a twin, and they eventually meet years later, they will only be a fraction of a second delayed between the two twins. It's a very tiny effect. So don't think that it has any practical applications at all. But you're right. Time beats at different rates. Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King. the White House says President Biden views recent ransomware attacks as a national security concern. FBI Director Christopher Wray says the agency is currently investigating about 100 ransomware cases. He told the Wall Street Journal that many of them are tied to criminals living in Russia. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says recent attacks targeting gas and beef suppliers have raised national security concerns.
Feels new to us over the last couple of weeks, but it has been increasing rapidly around the world over the last several years.
She says President Biden will raise the issue of cybersecurity with Russian President Vladimir Putin when the two meet in Geneva later this month. He'll also meet with Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and Turkish President Recep Erdogan on his trip to Europe next week. This is USA Radio News. The European Union banned Belarusian airlines from airspace and airports in member countries in response to the Lukashenko regime forcing the diversion of a plane carrying an opposition journalist last month. EU ambassadors agreed to the ban, which prevents Belarusian airlines from landing in or taking off from EU airports. Earlier this week, the European Union Aviation Safety Agency also issued a directive calling on air carriers in member states to avoid Belarusian airspace and airports. On May 23rd, the government forced a Ryanair flight en route from Greece to Lithuania to land in Minsk, saying there was a bomb threat on board. Upon landing, authorities arrested exiled journalist Roman Protasevich. President Alexander Lukashenko has targeted opposition leaders and members of the media since his re-election last year. According to international watchdogs, the election was deemed neither free nor fair. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pound de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The lines are open. That's right. It is open mic on Science Fantastic. Here's your chance to ask that question that you've always wanted to ask but never had the opportunity. You can give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name,
call letters of the radio station you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment that you've always wanted to do. And remember, no question is too dumb to put on national radio. Sometimes the dumbest questions are the deepest and most profound questions of all. And also, go to my website, mkaku.org is the website to go to, mkaku.org. And find out about my 4 New York Times bestsellers about the future of science, the future of jobs, the future of economy, the future of space travel, all of it contained in my books. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hey, this is Armand from Queens, New York. I listen to you on YouTube. I was wondering, why do you think Elon Musk thinks that we live in a simulation, like we're a simulation pretty much. We're, made by computers or whatever. I know you believe in the multiverse theory, but why do you think Elon Musk believes that we're like a simulation or like a program? Thank you. I love your show. Have a great one.
Excellent question. Well, as I mentioned in my book, The Future of Humanity, we have Silicon Valley billionaires affecting the direction of the space program. And so these people made their money on the Internet. For example, Elon Musk was a PhD candidate in physics, like Wernher von Braun, the famous rocket scientist. Elon Musk also went into the PhD program in physics, but after just two weeks at Stanford University, he decided, nope, this is not for me. The money is in Silicon Valley. So people in Silicon Valley think you can digitize everything. But you see, there are limits to what you can digitize. For example, how many atoms are there in your body? I mean, there are 10 to the 23 atoms in a mole. Your body consists of many, many moles. And so the number of atoms in your body could be on the order of 10 to the 26 atoms. That's an enormous number of atoms that you cannot digitize. Take a look at the weather. The smallest object that can simulate the weather is not a supercomputer. Even a supercomputer cannot model the weather and every atom of the weather accurately. The smallest object that can model and reproduce the weather is the weather itself. So we say that these things are not calculable. There are simply so many ways in which atoms can vibrate inside a gas to create the weather, that it's simply not practical to build a machine that can duplicate every single atom bouncing around inside the atmosphere. Now, people and reality is much more complicated than the weather. And so that's why even classical physics, Newtonian physics, cannot be modeled using a computer. It cannot be digitized. Now, quantum mechanics makes it worse. Quantum mechanics says that all possible universes are possible, and so you would have to digitize not just one universe, you would have to digitize all possible universes in the world of quantum mechanics. And that's why I say that the movie The Matrix was great, but it's a movie. Get over it. It's a movie. We are not living in a simulation. Okay, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question that you've always wanted to ask.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback, and they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The lines are open. You're not going to get a busy signal. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. When you hear the beep, leave your name, call letters of the radio station and the city you're calling from, and then make that question. Make that comment about science, and perhaps your thoughts will be heard on national radio. Okay, let's move on now to the next listener phone call.
Hello, sir. My name is Dale Phillips. I'm actually not listening to a radio station. I'm looking you up online, and I'm calling from Bahrain, south, in the Middle East. My question is, I sort of have a two-part question. How close are we to making colonies on other planets, or even the moon, or making colonies elsewhere other than Earth, is what I'm trying to say. Exactly how close we are to doing that. And also, one of my favorite episodes of yours is the episode Sci-Fi Science, where you make the lightsaber. How close are we to making the lightsaber from the time you made that episode to now? So I apologize for the two-part question, but that is my two most favorite interests. So thank you very much. My name is Dale Phillips from Bahrain, and hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.
Wow, what a phone call. Yes, I've been to the Middle East, and yes, I'll try to answer your questions. First of all, the colonization of planets is still going to be decades away. Just last December, President Donald Trump issued the Space Policy Directive number 1. And that Space Policy Directive reversed the policies of Barack Obama. Barack Obama basically ended the U.S. manned space program. He canceled the space shuttle.
cancel the replacement for the space shuttle, cancel the moon program, and then also cancel the Mars program. However, Space Directive number 1 says we are going back to the moon, then to Mars, and then beyond, perhaps the asteroid belt. Now, let's be real about this. The timetable, of course, is still speculative. Starting December of 2019, the end of next year, NASA intends to send the SLS booster rocket into outer space, and the capsule will go around the moon, unmanned capsule. Then, around 3 years after that, astronauts will go back to the moon. And then around 2030 to 2035, that's when the first astronauts will go to Mars. And then once we're on Mars, we have to set up a Mars colony. And that'll, of course, take even more time. Perhaps we'll use a lava tube as a makeshift base of operations to protect us against cosmic rays and the harsh atmospheric conditions of Mars. Then we'll create a power plant by putting out solar panels and then begin mining operations. Why that? Because ice is a valuable commodity. Mars has plenty of ice. It's a frozen desert. Ice can be melted and purified to give drinking water, broken apart into oxygen and hydrogen to create rocket fuel for the return mission. So again, first we go to Mars, put our flag on Mars, set up a impromptu base of operations, but then we're talking about long-term operations, basically starting mining to extract water. After that, we're going to set up a agribusiness. In other words, we're going to use genetic engineering to create varieties of algae and crops that can be sustained in the harsh conditions of Mars. The goal is to make it self-sustaining, so it's not going to cost anything at all. For example, it turns out that Mars rock can be melted using microwave radiation. This has actually been done in the laboratory to create duplicate rock of Mars, hit it with ultraviolet radiation, and melt it to create brick. So in other words, it's possible to use the soil of Mars to create brick, which will be used as building materials. It'll be possible to mine the ice to create the first mining operations, and then melting the ice caps using solar satellites to beam the energy down to the poles. Now, we're talking decades. We're not talking anytime soon. But you got to start somewhere. And maybe mining the asteroids could help pay the bill, because the asteroids have plenty of platinum chemicals. Well, unfortunately, that's it for Science Fantastic. Once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question. Make that comment that you've always wanted to do on national radio. So this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. Technology that touches your lives and changes the destiny of nations. And again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And again, leave your name, call letters to the radio station and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bothering you about science. And once again, no question is too dumb to put on national radio. Years ago, a 16-year-old boy asked a really dumb question. Can you outrace a light beam? It took him 10 years to answer that question from the age of 16 to the age of 26. But when he was 26 years old, he finally answered that question. Can you outrace a light beam? Well, that 16-year-old boy was called Albert Einstein, and his theory changed the destiny of humanity. He understood what makes the stars shine, the energy behind atomic and hydrogen bombs, the technology that we see in our living rooms in the form of the internet, transistors. A lot of this technology goes right back to Albert Einstein, who asked himself a simple question, can you outrace a light beam? So you can also be part of the March of Science by giving us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask that question. Make that comment. Well, before the break, we had a two-part question, and that is, what would it take for us to build a colony on other planets? And, well, in the 2030s, that's the earliest we could have humans on the red planet. And then it'll take decades after that before we set up the first mining operations. We set up the first agribusiness, and we make it self-sustaining for colonists. And then to create a paradise on Mars, we would have to send solar satellites to then beam solar energy down to the polar ice caps to melt the polar ice caps so that liquid water flows on the surface of Mars once again. And so hopefully, perhaps late in this century, we will have a self-sustaining Martian colony that's not going to cost anything,
So that colonists will have a self-sustaining economy based on mining operations, based on agribusiness, to create a permanent settlement on Mars. And then beyond that, well, get a copy of my book, The Future of Humanity, where I talk about going beyond that to Europa, to Titan, and then perhaps even to the nearby planets surrounding other star systems. Now, the other part to the question that we had earlier was the lightsaber. Well, for the Science Channel, I once hosted a science series where we went through the hardware of science fiction, looking at them from the point of view of a physicist. So, we looked at the lightsaber. Now, first of all, the lightsaber has a problem, and that is it extends a finite distance from the hilt. Now, how do you do that? Light, of course, simply keeps on going forever, unless it bounces off something. So one way in which you can create the temperatures of a lightsaber is with a plasma torch. Plasma torches are actually commercially available. It's basically a large spark that can create a plasma. Now, a plasma is the fourth state of matter. We have solid, liquid, gases, but the sun is not made of a solid, liquid, or gas. The sun is made out of a plasma. That is a gas of disassociated atoms, atoms that have been broken up, and you can create plasma using electricity. So if I have a plasma torch, then I could use that to cut right through steel, for example, and simulate a lightsaber. However, it's not a true lightsaber in the sense that it goes a finite distance. A lightsaber, of course, is based on light, which can in fact go an infinite distance. But this is as close as you can get to a lightsaber using today's technology. So the lightsaber would have to have a spine. It would have to have a spine that then emits the plasma from the spine and then creates the lightsaber. Now, it is not exactly what you find in Star Wars, but it's as close as you can get using today's and tomorrow's technology. Okay, let's move on to the next listener phone call.
Yes, Dr. Cocker, this is Justin from Texas. I listen to KMET. I was just wondering, what do you think the current administration of the United States is going to do about the problems we have with the space station, International Space Station? What do you think they're talking about, I guess, renting it out? What do you think the best idea would be to use with the International Space Station? Thank you very much.
Well, you ask a very embarrassing question because at the present time, we don't know what to do with the International Space Station. First of all, let me explain what the administration is doing. The Trump administration has issued, at the present time, three space directives. Space Policy Directive 1 talked about going back to the moon, then to Mars and beyond. The second directive talked about private enterprise and encouraging the deregulation of outer space. The space directive number 3 talked about space junk. So the administration has not yet stated what its policy is toward the space station. Now, it depends on who you talk to. If you talk to a pure scientist, they would say that we get actually very little new science from the space station. So they say that we perhaps don't even need a space station. Other people say, what a waste, $100 billion, and we're just going to let it deorbit and burn up like a meteor? At the present time, the only practical application would be to commercialize it. But we'll see. But unfortunately, we have run out of time in Science Fantastic. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Join us every week when we discuss the cutting edge of science, and go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out what all the excitement is about. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku for Science Fantastic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.